Welcome to the James River Church Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from Brandon Lindell, Senior Associate Pastor at James River Church. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
Sometimes as we're walking through a season like the season we're going to walk into, the holiday season, we can find ourselves, you know, getting very busy. And it doesn't really matter if it's the holidays or not. There are seasons in life where we can become very busy. And it's important for us to make sure that we're taking time to be in God's presence. And you know, it's interesting, we can be at a prayer meeting, but we can still be so busy or distracted or so concerned about everything going on that we are physically present, but we're maybe emotionally or spiritually not very checked in to what God's doing. And if that happens in our life, we can miss out on what God would want to do in our life or speak to us. And there's something just great about taking time and saying, God, I'm going to set everything aside and be in your presence. So I want to speak to you just briefly out of Luke chapter 10, verse 38 says, "Now as they went on their way," this is Jesus and his disciples, "Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house." Now notice that he's at Martha's house, all right? So if you've never heard this story before, that might actually be a good thing because it will kind of come alive to you. But if you've heard it, then you maybe heard about Martha. But that's very telling that we're going to Martha's house, all right? It's almost like Martha's the kind of person that if she read Luke's gospel, she would be like, if he said, "And they went to somebody's home," she'd be like, "No, excuse me, that was my house," all right? It wasn't. Martha's the sister of Mary and Lazarus, all right? And it's not Lazarus's house they're going to. It's not Mary's house. Martha pays the bills, all right? They're going to Martha's house, all right? And so as they're at Martha's house, she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her to help me." And the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, and that will not be taken from her." Priority on the presence of God. You know, I was thinking about distraction. I don't know if you've ever been distracted before, but distraction can be kind of a bad thing if it happens at the wrong time. You know, if maybe have you ever been driving and you got distracted? That can be very dangerous. So you need to be careful doing that. One time I remember I was on a trip. We were going down Highway 60. I can visually remember this so well. And I was talking and I was just getting into my conversation and I was just excited about life and I was having so much fun and I was just talking and I just got just so focused on what I was talking about, having so much fun. This is a long time ago. I drive way more focused now. I have kids and everything is a bomb on the road. You know, you're like, everything's dangerous. But I was driving and I remember I watched in my rearview mirror, the distraction broke for a second and I saw a Durango pull over the median and come onto my side of the highway. And I thought instantly, I knew what was happening. I said, "That is an officer of the law and they are going to dispatch my vehicle to the side of the road and have a chat with me." And so, you know, you slow down. But anyway, I remember him coming up to the window and I was like, "Hello, officer." And he goes, "Hello." And I go, "Am I getting the deal?" And he goes, "You're getting the deal." And man, I got the deal, all right? He wasn't joking. But a little distraction could have helped if I wasn't distracted at the wrong time. You know, distraction when it's misplaced or in the wrong moment can be a bad thing. And I think it's important for us to understand that when we're in the presence of God, that there's a lot of things that are vying for our attention that can actually distract us from the most important thing that we need in that moment. The most important thing, you know, life can get very busy. And I think the first thing I want you to see in this passage is priority. There's a priority disparity between Mary and Martha. And it's not that Martha's not doing good things, but I mean, life can just get busy sometimes. Sometimes, you know, if you have kids or maybe you're at a busy job or, you know, you have things going that are vying for your attention and people and relationships that are vying for your attention. You know, you got to talk to this person. And then right after you do that, you got to go here. And then right after you do that, you got to make sure you get that done and make sure that you want to do it right. And if you're like Martha, you're a person of the details. You know, you like to get the details down. The details are important and you feel pressure on the details. Sometimes life can be like that. Sometimes life can, you know, you walk into the holidays and you're like, man, I got to do this before this date because we got the family coming. And if we don't do that, then this will happen and there will be no bed in the guest room. And that's going to be a huge problem. We got to get that painted. And you're like, there's just a lot to do. And if we're not careful when we're detailed like that, or when we're focused on the things going on in our world, the things that are important, you know, that can be like that's kind of the detail-oriented people. But I realize there are people in this room that their pressures can be different. And I think when we look at this passage, we can say, oh, Martha, you know, she's in the details. She doesn't care about relationships. She's like uber list-oriented and checklist-operated. And so Mary doesn't have any problems. And so that's why Mary's at the feet of Jesus. But Mary, in this passage, has problems too. You know, if you're a relational person or maybe your world's full of relationships, those can put a different kind of pressure on you. Pressure with people, pressure sometimes to meet expectations, pressure regarding making sure and you're maintaining relationships. There's pressure involved in life and things that you have to do that vie for our attention, good things. You know, I was thinking as you're thinking about priority, that Martha has priorities. And they're good priorities, but a good priority misplaced can become a distraction. A good priority in your life misplaced can become a distraction. Maybe even as you walked in tonight, you have things that are heavy on your mind or things that you're like thinking, man, I gotta get this done, or man, this is just huge to me in my world right now. I want you to be careful not to misplace that priority, because that can actually become a distraction from the most important thing. And oftentimes in life, especially when things are heavy in our heart, that can be the one thing that we talk about with the Lord. The one thing that fills up our conversation time with Him. The one thing that we think about all the time, and we can make it where until that one thing's moved, that the relationship really breaks down. Now, the Bible tells us to ask God for things. It's not bad to ask the Lord for things, but we have to be careful that that doesn't become the sum of our relationship. And you have to realize, and if you think about your past history, if you've been walking with the Lord for a little bit, that you may not feel like it right now in your feelings, but if you think about it, once that one thing is taken care of, whatever that thing is for you, and we all have that thing, once that one thing is taken care of, you know and I know that something else will take its place. There will become a new priority, a new problem, a new mountain to climb, a new challenge to overcome. You know, and that's not a bad thing. Life will always carry those sorts of things, those things that we have to climb and those battles that we have to fight. And it's not bad to ask the Lord to help us. But you have to know this, that if that's the sole view that you have, then the next time it comes around, the new view, you have something new. And that becomes the whole of your relationship with God. And you miss out on some of the great things that God would want to do in your heart and the great richness of a relationship with the Lord that comes through saying, God, these things are important, yes, and I want to bring them before you, but they're not always the most important thing. They're not always the thing I'm going to talk to you about. They're not always the thing that I'm going to say, Lord, if you help me with this, God, I need your help on this. God, sometimes I'm going to set those things aside just to be in your presence, just to be with you, just to be with you. You know, sometimes we can pray so passionately and fervently for God to give us a peace. God, give me a peace in this situation. God, help me with this. God, go before me with this. But peace can become the priority. But we miss it if we make peace the priority, because it's not really what we need is peace. We need a relationship with the Lord. We need to walk in his presence, and then we'll find a peace that passes all understanding from being with who? The Prince of Peace. The Bible says he's the Prince of Peace. Man, I would want the peace from the Prince of Peace. You know, I want A-grade, top-notch peace. I don't want the kind of peace that says, you know what, I'll just forget about it for a little while. I don't want the kind of peace that says, oh, it doesn't matter even when it really matters. I don't want the kind of peace that says, man, can I just find something to medicate this or entertain me or make me forget about this? I want the kind of peace that goes, yeah, I see it and I don't understand why I feel this way, but I think I've spent some time with the Prince of Peace and I think that's changed my perspective and I found a peace that passes all understanding because I put a priority on not peace, but his presence. I put a priority on not peace, but being with him. And this passage really brings that to light. Martha, you're distracted. What's it say she's distracted with? She's distracted with a really good thing. It says, but Martha was distracted with what? With much serving. Serving's a good thing. This is not a message where you walk out and you go, don't have to serve, I'll just spend time, all right? No. No, she was distracted at a moment that she had an opportunity to be in his presence in an intimate way, where she had an opportunity where God, the creator of the universe, is literally sitting in her living room and she's able to be with him. And she's distracted with a good thing. A misplaced priority can become a distraction. She's distracted with serving. I want to encourage you, like maybe you have good things on your heart and mind, but place the priority on his presence. Take time. Say, God, I'm gonna be with you. That's a surrender act. That's saying, God, I'm literally gonna set that aside till I'm with you, and I'll wait till you tell me to pick it up again. And you know when he will. He'll let you, but it will be at the right time after being with him. That's a great thing. Number two, I just wanna bring one more thing out on that because this is really important. He says, you're distracted, you're anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. I don't want you to miss that. I was about to skip it, but I do think it's really important for you to think about that in this sense, that we like to go, okay, God, I'm gonna make you the focus, and God, but we're literally like, if you could physically see what you were doing, you'd be like, okay, God, you're the focus, and then I'm gonna just put all these other things kind of around you, all right? But you're the focus, God. You're the focus, God. Oftentimes, what it takes for us as people is to say, God, I'm actually gonna set all those things out of the way. I'm not even gonna pick them up because one thing matters, and I know if it's even in my peripheral, God, I'll pick it up. If I'm praying and it's even in my peripheral, I'll pick it up. And God, that does not matter. All that matters is you. One thing is necessary. David said, one thing I ask, this is what I seek. One thing I ask, this is what I seek, that I might dwell in the house of the Lord. The Message puts it like this. I'm asking God for one thing and one thing only, to live with him in his house my whole life, to contemplate his beauty, to study at his feet. One thing I ask. Priority. Number two, intentionality. It says this in verse 42, Mary has chosen the good portion. Chosen. There's something intentional in that language, intentional about a choice. She didn't end up at Jesus' feet and go, oh my word, I didn't realize, Martha. I was just sitting here. I did not realize I was not doing anything. No, she's like, no, I wanted to be here. I need to be here. This is good for me. This is where I need to be. Mary's chosen, he says, the good portion. You know, I was thinking about that. I was thinking Thanksgiving's right around the corner. It's coming up. I'm excited about Thanksgiving. You know, turkeys, pie, stuffing, the works, cranberry sauce, gravy floats, you know, all of it. It's going to be great. Thanksgiving is actually one of my favorite holidays. I love the food. I love stuffing that's been cooked in the bird, all right? There's something different about that. There's something special about that. If you're vegan, I'm sorry. It's great, and you need to try it, all right? But you don't have to. No pressure. So intentionality, I don't know if you're like me, and this may seem completely selfish, but when you're eating the meal, have you ever thought like, well, I need to make sure I get to the dessert table before everybody else because I wanna have my choice of the pie? Hello, people. If that is not you, you are lying to me right now, all right? I was thinking, this probably sounds so selfish, but I was thinking everybody does that. Everybody wants to get their piece of the pie, you know? All right, so that intentionality that's like, I'm gonna be intentional about getting there first so I can have the choice, make a choice to be intentional. And you know, it's funny, we'd be intentional about pie, wouldn't we? I think everybody would say yes to that. You know, we'd be intentional about, you know, maybe you're like details person, you wash your car, you're like, I'm intentional to make sure I get every water spot off my car. I'm going to be intentional about that. Oh, you know, we'd be intentional about different things, be intentional about what we wear or what we're doing for the week. But it's funny, sometimes when we come in the presence of God, we come in completely unintentional. We come in and go, well, if God wants to meet with me, I guess he'll speak to my heart. You know, if God wants this, I guess he'll do that. That it's like an apathetic approach. I think we need to be really careful about that. And that's not to condemn anybody, but that's saying something, that's something you can slip into when it comes to your walk with God, is saying, if God wants to do it, he will. Anytime you see that in the Bible, if you read through the Old Testament, sometimes people have, like, God speaks to them and they're like, well, he's God, he can do whatever he wants. That's never looked good upon. It's always looked good when it's like people cry out to God, and when people press into God, and when people aren't apathetic towards the things of God. And we as believers have a call to be intentional. He says, Mary's chosen the good part. Man, I want to be a person that I said, man, I choose the good part. That if I was sitting with Jesus, he'd be like, you know what? You chose the good part. You chose to be with me. You chose to press into me. You chose when there were other opportunities, and were there other things you could do, or there other things you could think about, or there other things you could do with your time. You chose to be intentional. You know, I love David in the Bible. It's one of my favorite things to think about is David's intentionality. And as preparing for this message, I was thinking about how often David says, I will do this or I won't do that in the Psalms. 160 times he says, I will, in the Psalms. 160 times. I'm going to give you a few of them. You know, he was intentional about the house of God. He said, surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever. He was intentional about saying, I'm going to get in God's presence. I'm going to be somebody who you find me in the house of God. I'm gonna be intentional. This wasn't like, you know, and it's, you know, I love, surely the goodness and mercy will follow me. I love the house of God. It's a great place. No, I will be there. I will be there. That intentionality will change your life. Those who dwell in the courts of the Lord will flourish. That's what the Bible says. You wanna flourish, you wanna be steady, you wanna be a person that people can look to and say, that's a person who follows God, then you better be in his house, because it's about getting around with believers and having an intentionality about that. David was intentional about that. He was intentional about the altar. Psalm 43, there I will go to the altar of the Lord. I will go to the altar of God, to God, the source of all my joy. I will praise you with the harp, oh my God. I will praise you, I will go. That intentionality to press in. Man, I want to be intentional to press in. God, put an intentionality in our heart to press into your presence, to not sit on the sidelines, to not say, oh, there will be another day for me to press in. Oh, God, if you want to, then you will. No, God, I will not let go until you bless me. I will not let go until I hear from you. God, I will get in your presence. God, I want to be with you. I want to be intentional. I'm going to press in, God. I'm going to get a little passionate. I'm going to get a little bit desperate, Lord. I'm going to get a little bit hungry. I'm not going to let somebody get a blessing that I'm not going to have. I'm going to get in your presence. Man, what if God's here tonight, and he is, and he wants to move, and he does? Don't miss it. Press in. Intentional about praise. Psalm 35, I will thank you from the front of the great assembly. I will praise you before all the people. I will praise. I will thank. Intentional about his thought life. Why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I will put my hope in God. I will praise him again, my Savior and my God. You know, I think it's cool that David was like, you know what? When I'm depressed, I'm gonna tell myself what I'm gonna think. I'm gonna tell myself what I'm gonna think about. I'm not gonna put my hope in what I see. I'm gonna put my hope in God. And he was intentional about that. Number three, eternity. It says this, Mary's chosen the good portion which will not be taken from her. I love that. It will not be taken from her. Do you know what happens in God's presence when we're in God's presence has eternal ramifications for our lives? If you walk out of here being a person of faith, God responds to faith. So God's gonna use you, and when you speak faith into your family, and you speak faith into your coworkers, and you speak faith into your kids, God uses that, God responds to faith. You speak life, and it comes from being in his presence, taking time and being in his presence, and you say to your child, you know what? I believe God has big things for you. I believe he has a plan for your life. You begin to speak faith into their life. God will use that. Stop thinking about all the things you're not doing as a parent and start living out of faith from being in his presence. And you watch God repair damages that you can never repair, do things that you could have never done because you spoke faith. You know, stop living about all the mistakes that you've made at work, all the things that you wish you could have done better, all the things that people think about you. Drop all of that and say, you know what? If I spend a little time in his presence, maybe I'll begin to speak a little faith and God will use that to do things I could never do. Make eternal impact. That won't be taken from you. You know, just being with Jesus. You know, in Acts, it says the disciples were before the Sanhedrin and they took note that they had been with Jesus because they were ordinary, uneducated people. There's something about being in God's presence that when people see it, they can't put their finger on it, but they can say there's something different and they just want to be closer to Jesus because they were around you. But that doesn't come by you being like Jesus, that comes from being with Jesus. It comes from being with him. And that has internal impact on you and internal impact on the people around you. And I wanted to read you this scripture, Psalm 84. A single day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. Why would David say that? It's just like, hey, I spent a little time in God's presence and he did more in me than I could have done trying to fix myself for 1,000 days. Trying to make it work out for 1,000 days. 1,000 days elsewhere, better is one day in your courts. And as we talk about being in the presence of God, and I wanna give you an opportunity to do that. There's something, if you just let a little faith rise in your heart and say, God, I'm just gonna spend a little time in your presence. I'm gonna let all the distractions go. You watch, there's something great about that. It's indescribable almost. It's like, I don't know, you're just like, the things I was concerned about, it feels like God said, I'll take care of them. It's like that verse that says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things will be added unto you. And so what's that mean to be in his presence? That means listening. That means praising. That means speaking his word. That means thanksgiving to him and worship to him. And just saying, God, I want to be with you. And just being, and that's a powerful thing. And I wanna encourage us to take a few moments. We're gonna open the altar. I've asked the worship team to play. They might sing a little bit. They're not gonna sing a song, they're just gonna worship. So that creates an atmosphere for an altar. That creates an atmosphere to be with God. But I wanna encourage you to step out of your seat, say, God, I'm gonna be a little intentional. I'm gonna press in. I'm gonna be a little desperate, God, but I'm just desperate to be with you, God. And I want that. Lord, would you put your presence on me as I'm with you? You watch what God will do.